I'm Ruby Redstone.
And I'm Lara Johnson-Wheeler.
And we want to invite you to get dressed with us.
Or at least think about getting dressed.
While we talk about getting dressed.
This is a transatlantic podcast about fashion, where we explore what it means to have a relationship with clothes, the issues both personal and political garments can raise, and our own ever-evolving philosophies of dress.
Hi, Lara. How are you?
I am tired, but I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm talking to you from inside a bathroom because everywhere else in my house is very noisy. I feel like I'm talking to the toilet, but I'm actually talking to you. So I'm great.
Are you calling me a toilet? How dare you?
No, you're just inside the toilet right now.
TBH, I feel like the inside of a U-bend, so like it's not that far. What are you wearing in your bath time paradise?
Okay, I'm wearing a little green sundress with flowers, and I was just showing off to you when we had our video turned on that I have a headband, a vintage headband that I just got from a candy store on Long Island. The proprietress of the candy store also happened to be selling some of her old accessories, so I'm wearing this turquoise silk headband with gold studs. And right before I came into the bathroom, I had on my beloved summer purchase for this season, which was a pair of Chanel flats that I got for $3.
Chic. You might need to tell our listeners that your $3 purchase did have a caveat, but nonetheless, they are chic as heck, and I can vouch for that.
Yes, I had some credit on The RealReal, so in reality, they were about $80, but I spent $3.
$80. Well, that's nothing to turn your nose up at, is it?
Exactly, and then I re-spent that money repairing them, but still.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Exactly. I like a fixer-upper. What are you wearing today?
I am wearing a very matchy-matchy outfit. Actually, I match the candlesticks that are on my table right now. I'm wearing kind of an electric blue Issey Miyake Pleats Please top that has long sleeves and a crop. And it's funny, this top, because I bought it on eBay, and I'm pretty sure that the person who I bought it off just like cut the crop themselves, because the hem is frayed, and I have lots of other Pleats Please things, and I've never come across a frayed garment. So I'm going to call it like a DIY Issey Miyake Pleats Please top. But it matches very nicely with my new summer purchase, which I had been waiting for to go on sale for a really long time. So then when it did in the Farfetch sale, which I'm sorry if anyone hasn't, I'm really sorry for anyone who hasn't purchased anything from the Farfetch sale, but it has been extraordinary.
It is off the charts, simply off the charts.
I mean, I assume it's because all of these big retailers are like struggling, you know, during COVID-19, which is not something to be delighted about, but Matches as well had an amazing sale. But should digress. So what I did buy, I bought a stretch fabric Marine Serre skirt, which has the, it's an homage to our good sis Dua, the Dua Lipa Blue Moons on the black with a panel of like tiger print. And I am wearing it with my little yellow Miu Miu mules that have square toes and like a 1-inch heel.
You are so cute. I can't even stand it. Very cute.
Very cute. And I felt very cute all day, but now my I ate so much butternut squash risotto that my tummy is like really pushing against the skirt. So I'm like, yes, I have loved this outfit. It has been a day to remember in it, kinda. But I'm also ready to slip it off and slip into nothing and in my bed. So today we wanted to talk a little bit about appropriate dressing, which makes sense given that, you know, things are starting to come out of lockdown, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe events are starting to be more of a thing.
Maybe for some people, certainly not for me, but I'm well jealous of anyone who has events as part of their life now.
To be honest, I take that back because I'm just so tired. I was like, are they? And then, like, as soon as I said it, I was like, I haven't got fucking anything on the horizon. So, like, I don't really know where that's come from.
I know. I started thinking about this last night, and this thought went through my mind where I was just like, I don't think I've ever been appropriately dressed for anything. It's either really over or really underdressed. I don't think I've ever hit the nail on the head and been like, ah, yes, that was perfect.
In the years I've known you, I've thought many things about the looks that you pull. I don't think I've ever turned around and looked at one of your outfits and thought, ah, appropriate. I mean, I think when I think about appropriate dressing, what takes me back is the fact that when I was 11, between the ages of like 11 and 13, I went to an all-girls school that required uniform. Mm-hmm. And I really hated it. Like, I really, really rebelled against it. In fact, one of the stories that my mum likes to bring up in order to embarrass me is when we went to John Lewis to buy said horrible uniform. It was this kind of polyester scratchy maroon jumper with like a v-neck that was sort of like hits a prepubescent chest in like exactly the worst point. Yeah, and so we went to buy this uniform and I cried. I put it on and I just like burst into tears and I was sobbing and sobbing and sobbing, and she was just furious at me. She was just like, you have no idea how lucky you are. You get to go to this school and have a wonderful education. And yeah, in hindsight, cool, great. But I was so devastated by this uniform.
Oh, I had the same in school. I always went to schools that had like a dress code of sorts. And then for 2 years, I went to a school that had a true uniform. I was just reminiscing on this with my mom the other day, actually, that it was in a phase, you know, now that I have pretty long legs as an adult. And I was just in this phase of growth where my legs would not stop growing. And I was constantly getting in trouble for my kilt being too short. And I was like, I was the biggest nerd you could imagine. I had a mohawk and like was on the competitive science team. And I kept getting all these uniform violations for my skirt being too short. And I was like, I just can't stop growing. Like, I can't hem the skirt fast enough. I'm really not trying to be inappropriate. But that was terrible.
Ugh, the woes of puberty, though, let me tell you, that was, I think, the worst time for dressing.
Oh my God. And to be put into, like you said, like the jumpers or the polo shirts that just like emphasize everyone's body in the wrong way, whether you're like overdeveloped or underdeveloped, it just like, it doesn't work for anyone.
Yeah. I do remember like in a school debate, like one of the like classics was like, debate school uniform, like pro or con. Actually, that's the debate that they have in the Princess Diaries, the movie, fun fact. But I remember people be like, it makes everyone look the same. And I remember just like as a teenage girl being like, it makes everyone look different because you're not allowed to like dress for the unique body that you have. So anyone who doesn't have a body that's like completely conforming to a certain ideal, that is highlighted when you're forced to be like in school uniform.
Yeah.
Those are my feelings anyway.
I had a similar, a similar age memory when I thought about dressing appropriately. I remember going to my first bat mitzvah, which was obviously a huge deal because it was like, you know, the first real party, a 13th birthday party with limited parent supervision and a dance floor and all that. And I remember exactly what I wore. I just cut all my hair off into this like very ill-advised faux hawk mohawk situation that I had for several years.
I've never seen an image of the faux hawk, so like I want to see the receipts.
Yeah, it's been wiped from the internet. Anyway, I had that very ill-advised haircut and tight black pants and then the shirt that I was obsessed with, and I honestly wish I still had now. It was a polo Ralph Lauren Peter Pan collar shirt in this pink and white candy stripe, and then it had like a ruffled panel on the breast, so I don't know, it was like a sort of 60s looking shirt, like a 60s uniform shirt.
And that was kind of amazing.
Yeah, oh, it was awesome. And I'm sure I was wearing Converse because that was my vibe at the time. And I got there and every single other girl was in like, you know, the sort of like black satin strapless midi dress and heels. And I just looked around and I was like, oh, I completely misjudged the vibe here.
And, oh, really?
And I remember the someone's mom took me aside and she was like, I just have to say, you look amazing. It is always better to be underdressed than overdressed. And I was like, I don't know, is it? Because I feel pretty fucking awkward right now. And she was like, no, you look like a rock star. And so that really stuck with me. But I don't think I've been underdressed for anything really since then, because I'm a massive overdresser.
I always wonder about the underdressed, overdressed thing. Like, people always said that, like, I always got told it's better to be overdressed because then you'll never be embarrassed. And I remember being like, I'm not sure about that. I feel like I always, like, I think we both kind of go mid-ground where, like, every single day I could be super, super overdressed. But then if I go to events, like, I probably look scrubby.
Yeah, well, I think you and I share something that I think a lot of people in fashion actually would probably agree upon, is that I go way overdressed with the clothes and then I never do hair and makeup. One, because I can't, but two, because as a funny old boss of mine said, the less makeup you have on, the more clothes you can wear, which I totally agree with. Yeah.
That's so true. I have a few friends who do that really well. They'll get on the other side of it, which is like wear very, very simple clothes, but have like very perfectly done hair and makeup. But it's true. I think if I put any effort into my face or hair, it would just look insane. But coming back to the thing of being appropriate, mm-hmm. It's funny how the concept of being appropriate kind of changes, not only within like, you know, events or certain like time periods of our lives. Like dressing for your age is always something that people talk about when it comes to being appropriate, but also dressing for, you know, the country that you're in. This also kind of came back into our into the fore of our minds because we got a very sweet email from one of our listeners.
Oh yeah, do you want to read that out?
Why not?
Please do.
So this is a lovely email from a listener called Rowan, and her subject is culture clash dressing. And it's, I won't read the whole email, but she cites that she found Zadie Smith's article on the peculiarities and the perils of dressing for different international cities fascinating and bang on the money. And then she shared with us a very interesting little anecdote, kind of to talk about from when she first moved from London to Berlin. She says, I had a pair of amazing Kurtgeiger up to the knee black boxer boots with red laces, which I used to live in London due to their ability to add an edge to almost any outfit and the fact that they were comfortable as hell. They were the envy of everyone I knew. Therefore, I gave them several outings in Berlin, and each time they were on my feet, I felt so deeply uncomfortable as people would stare and I could tell it wasn't in an admiring glance way. I then realised they looked like thug boots from the Third Reich and never put them on again. Lara, you mentioned your boyfriend is German and that there is a German style, which I think is true to an extent, but there's also a style unique to each different city in Germany. I think the style in Berlin has a really interesting mix of practicality mixed with the lifestyle of a hedonist, rain jackets with glitter eyes, and of course, in Berlin, completely unacceptable to think you tried too hard.
That's everyone's worst nightmare. I mean, that's the worst possible scenario of a garment being read the wrong way that I could even imagine. But it also taps into this feeling that I know you and I are rather obsessed with, which is like, how does the way I dress help me blend in and set me apart in these different environments where I exist?
Totally. And what does it say about me that I'm wearing this piece? And obviously, you know, moving from one place to a different country, or, you know, even a different city, or, you know, even a different area, you want to kind of show off your personality, show who you are as an individual, but at the same time, if it sets you apart from the people you're around, that's a very scary feeling. So I can't really relate to this, but I don't have such an experience with Berlin. If I'm totally honest, I think I did a very opposite thing to what Rowan was doing, which is like, I wanted to look very much like I came from London, maybe because I was like a little bit insecure about the fact that, you know, I was visiting Patrick from a long distance relationship. So I definitely know that, like, when I was getting dressed to, for example, like meet his work colleagues, or, you know, go to like a bar in Cologne or whatever, I would wear like London designers or whatever. Like I remember wearing actually a really cute little outfit. It was like a blue kilt with my black tabi boots and like a black and red sheer Eckhouse Lauter top, And like, I remember that someone commented and was like, oh, like, your outfit's really interesting. And I remember being like, is that just like German shade? Am I being told that I look like trash? But I think it was just like the fact that I looked, you know, markedly different.
Yeah, and I think it's such a hard thing to navigate. I'm curious to know if you'll feel the same way. Being from a large city where I see a ton of tourism every day, my constant paranoia when I go anywhere away from home is that I do not want to look like a tourist. But then I also remember that I live in this like mecca of individuality, and where, I mean, I routinely see people walking down the street naked and I'm not blown away by it or even really thrown off guard by it. So it is funny to navigate that balance of going somewhere and not wanting to stand out as an American, but also realizing I'm going to stand out wherever I go, because the way that I dress hardly fits in New York. It's certainly not going to fit in, you know, like a small town in Italy.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about this actually, Rue. This is something that I was really thinking about, the thing of standing out, and if you get comments or whatever, like on the street.
Oh my God, 24/7.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so part of it is definitely what you just described with like, oh, you look so interesting. Or my least favorite comment is, I could never pull that off, because I feel like that's the strangest, most backhanded compliment, because like, oh, actually, you kind of look terrible. Or like, I don't think there's such thing as pulling something off. You're either wearing it or you're not, and you either look comfortable or you don't. I don't think there's like a...
I don't know. I appreciate your thought, and I think that you're very valid in your feelings. But I will say that I think that I can understand those people who might say that to you. And it's because you have a certain... you have a very natural kind of charm and insouciance about you when you wear clothes. So I think you should take that fully as a compliment, because it's about being able to have the confidence to feel that you could like manage certain clothes.
Okay, well, that actually sounds very sweet when you put it like that. Maybe I'm overly sensitive. It always feels like an insult to me.
I do understand that too. And like, as listeners of this podcast may have finally picked up on, like, I've dealt with like, you know, body issues for years. And sometimes people would say stuff like, oh my God, like, you're so brave to wear that on your body.
Yes.
And of course I'm like vastly offended, because I didn't wake up in the morning and think like, I'm taking a stand with my, you know, like tight lycra skirt on my ass. So it's very difficult, particularly I think with like female relationships, to navigate when we take things as barbed comments when they're actually more intended to be complimentary, but the person that's giving them is possibly projecting their own feelings.
That, okay, no, sorry, that takes the cake over over I could never pull that off. You're so brave is perhaps insulting of compliments, and I've gotten that before too, and I, oh God, it never feels good, and you never feel brave after you hear that.
It's true. It's the thing that makes me like truly jelly knee. Just thinking about how when someone can comment on what you're wearing, how that can totally change your day, is quite extraordinary.
Yeah, I mean, it can make a good outfit into a bad outfit, really. And granted, you know.
It can make a good day into a terrible day, you know. It can make something that was completely mundane into the absolute worst feeling ever. I have a very specific outfit that I remember wearing once to work, and naming no names, somebody in the office place, like, called me out for it. And I was wearing these, like, it wasn't like a... nothing, no piece of the outfit was like an ugly item of clothing. I had just woken up in like a bad, weird mood and like piled on lots of kind of contrasting things that came from like, you know, just different states of dress that didn't make any sense. So it was like a pair of pinstripe trousers with a chain belt paired with some like pink chinoiserie style platform pumps and like an off the shoulder style, like Brigitte Bardot-esque top. So, okay.
So but you're like 1993 Vivienne Westwood is what it sounds like.
It was like 93 Vivienne Westwood, but in the office place and like a bit of a miss.
Yes.
And then the person who I won't name, called me out and just in the very simple but totally devastating way that only certain women can really do. Oh. She looked me up and down with what I call elevator eyes,
mm-hmm.
and just said, "I don't know what you were doing here."
Oh,
and I was, yeah, I was just, and it just could, like, everything I did that day just felt shit. I was just thrown.
Oh,
it was all about making me feel bad, not in my own, not even in my own skin, but even worse, in the skin that I'd chosen to wear.
Oh, that makes my heart hurt, Laura.
That's the thing. That's why I feel like clothes are so important. And it's, you know, like, we can't choose our bodies. Sure, we can, like, you know, do whatever we want to, like, adapt them. But we're born with them. But with our clothes and with what we want to put out there, yeah, we choose that. So when someone insults your outfit, I genuinely think it's the nastiest thing you can do.
I completely agree. I will say, on the positive side, sometimes you don't get a reaction that you were expecting in a positive way. I'm thinking about,
true,
reminiscing on this recently. There's this, like, somewhat unstable older man who loiters around our neighborhood all the time. And last summer I went out in this pink slip skirt and red boots, and he came up to me on the street, and I was like, oh, I don't want to know what's about to happen here. And he came over, and he was like halfway tearful, and he was like, "Your outfit, it just reminded me when I was a boy, I grew up in this pink and red house, and like, those are my favorite colors. And it just is bringing back all these happy memories. Like, I grew up in this beautiful pink house. And just thank you. Like, I haven't thought about these colors in so long." And it really touched me.
So that is a very sweet clothing anecdote, I've got to say.
And obviously, as someone who loves fashion history, I really like getting questions like, "Oh, I've never seen a shirt like that before." And then I'm like, "Oh, you know, that's because it's from 1899. And and I love stuff like that. But I will say, it is a constant influx of commentary, which at this point, I think I've just learned to deal with. But I think the odd thing, and maybe you'll disagree with me on this because you're a little bit more outgoing, but I'm a relatively introverted person, and the way I dress completely counteracts that. So I think it's good for me. It forces me to have these interactions that I wouldn't otherwise.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. Like, I think a lot of my friends who don't know you would assume that you're like this massive extrovert. But I think that the nice thing is that you are able to kind of put forward your personality in what you wear without necessarily having to give it all up front.
Yeah, like what you're saying, that's the choice. Like, you can show off things, and it sounds so corny to say it like that, but you can show off sides of yourself that other people wouldn't be able to see immediately.
And I'm gonna be honest, and I don't want to sound like a dick when I say this, like, I don't want to sound like I'm being cocky or anything, but I get a lot of catcalls when I'm in the street. Like, I get a lot of guys, like, leaning out the window. I get a lot of, like, being chatted up. And, like, I think, you know, I've got big boobs and a big butt, and I guess that that's sort of something that, like, people think I'm putting out on a plate. But
I will say, in summer I get that 24/7 too, and I'm, you know, flat chested. I don't think it has anything to do with your natural assets. It's just the patriarchy.
Well, I mean, that does make me feel a little better in a way, because I do in the summer, like, get dressed, and obviously you want to, like, you know, you don't want to be wearing so many clothes. You want to be, like, you know, light and bright and feeling breezy in the hot weather. So naturally you shed a few more layers, or your hemline goes up a little bit, or, like, you're wearing short sleeves, or, you know, there's a bit more cleavage out. But there's definitely this contrast between wanting to, like, dress for the weather, and also thinking, like, I kind of need to dress appropriately, so as a woman, I don't feel like I'm being sexualized, or, you know, at the very extreme, like, I don't feel like I'm getting into a situation in which someone will blame my clothing for situations that could happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the darkest side of being a woman in today's society, or perhaps not the darkest, but...
But one big issue that I think that is not really talked about when it comes to, like, women having choice over their clothing. And it is something that I've grown more and more conscious of with age.
when you think about age-appropriate dressing, the first thing for me is I think it's Harper's Bazaar used to run like, here's what you should wear if you're in your 20s, here's what you should wear if you're in your 60s, and they do like every decade of your life, and I would always be like, okay, well, fuck this, because by the time you get to your 70s, the recommendation is always like, you should wear a long black skirt and a nice crisp blouse, and I was like, I don't want to have to do that when I'm 70. And
yeah, I mean, I think it's something that, you know, the woman of our dreams, Simone Rocha, does really well, which is be able to make clothes that do not discriminate in terms of age. They're clothes that will look gorgeous on like a 14-year-old girl and an 84-year-old woman.
Yeah, completely. And obviously it brings to mind my all-time favorite, Lynn Yeager, who is...
Mm-hmm. Amen. Just who I was thinking about.
Oh, really? I mean, she's the client there, right? She's the older woman who's buying that, but she doesn't dress like in, you know, quotes or inverted commas, an older woman. She just dresses like herself.
Yeah, at Baby Linny, the best.
I know. Oh, I'm so happy she's on Instagram now. Anyone who's listening, please give her a follow. She needs more attention on the gram.
She certainly does.
I feel like almost an excited approach to dressing for my age. Like we talked about a little bit, I think, in our femininity episode, there are certain things that I don't feel like I'm ready to wear or that like I haven't matured enough to wear. So I'm very excited to see those things. And then it's for the same reason, just like what you're saying, I'll go to Brandy Melville with my cousins and they're like, you look so cute in this little crop top, and I'm like, yeah, sorry, I'm too old to wear stuff from Brandy Melville.
Yeah,
I'm not
doing that. Yeah, we should be realistic as well, like, you know, is that it, even though I'm not an advocate for like prescribed codes of dress, you know, it's obvious that when as we mature, as we talked about in the femininity episode, I think, like, as we mature, you know, we have different attitudes to our bodies and to our own, you know, modesty or lack thereof. And sure, like, that's obvious. But I do think that the idea of, you know what I think? Ha, here's my thought. I think that appropriate dressing, full stop, I think that appropriate dressing as the thing can only be decided by the individual who's dressing themselves. I think that if somebody else tells you that your outfit is inappropriate, I think that's really unacceptable. And I've seen that happen, again, in another workplace scenario I was present for. And a woman of older stature told, and in a position of power, told a younger woman working in the company that her outfit was inappropriate. And I think there was something very, very complicated about what was being said, because it was much less to do with creating a difficult environment in the workplace because of, I don't know, people being distracted by the sight of a boob, but much more about bringing that person into line by telling her that she was doing the wrong thing. But the concept of something being appropriate has got so much to do with like power structures.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Something wouldn't be inappropriate if society would, you know, took a different stance to the ways that women's bodies were policed.
Yeah, and it especially kind of boggles my mind in workplace environments, because school is one thing and that's complicated in its own way, but I get that trying to sort of just set parameters on teenagers who will try to push the boundaries in any respect as they deserve to, like, I understand how, even if that is now a misguided attempt, came into being. But the idea, this has always blown my mind, and I think because all of the jobs that I've had have been in the creative industry. The most corporate job I ever had was at a museum where we could still, you know, dress relatively creatively. The idea of like other adults policing what you need to wear to work is just like, it boggles my mind in a way that I can't even really put into words.
I know I've just banged on about my hate for like uniform and inappropriate dress, but there's something that also massively appeals to one side of me, of the idea of like being able to kind of play with a uniform and like a prescribed code of dressing. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I mean, one, that was my passion for all of school, was like, I had a uniform violation every other day for wearing like different things under my kilt.
Yeah.
But tie-dye tights, silver pants, like anything I could cram under my uniform skirt. I was like, let me see if I can get away with this.
I know there's innuendo there, but I'm just too tired to make it.
Yeah, sorry, not in an inappropriate way. Like I said, I was extremely nerdy.
If our listeners know that there's one, then like email it at some point, but I'm just too tired to get there.
But yeah, well, that's the reason I like, I mean, that sounds really, again, douchey to say, but I like a black tie event or something like that, of thinking like, okay, I have to dress in this way that's been set for me by someone else. How can I put my spin on it?
Yeah, yeah, totally. That's very fun.
I'm thinking of...
it just does make me want to go to an event. I long for the moment and the day that there will be events to which we can dress inappropriately.
Oh, me too. I'm just reminiscing. I got an invitation, I guess it was in 2018, to my 5-year high school reunion, and there was a dress code set and it said business casual or nautical. And I was like, first of all, business casual never makes sense to me. You are not specifying what the business is.
You went nautical.
And I actually did not attend at all. But I will say that it provided...
How could you not go with such opportunities for dress as normal? Rue, I can even imagine the kinds of looks that you could have pulled out with your wardrobe at an event that you are told to dress nautical.
It just... Also, like, what would be the outfit that's a crossover between nautical and business casual?
Well, I find it hard to think.
But so it provided like a solid month's worth of jokes between Gabriel and my mom and myself about all the different sexy sailor costumes that I could wear.
Yeah. kind of thing. Yeah.
Dressing up as a human anchor. Just, you know.
That's what you wear normally.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think, Rue, is the most inappropriate outfit you've ever worn?
Ooh. Oh. I'm sure. Ugh. I mean, you know, I'm sure that there have been things. I'm really struggling now. God, okay, let me think for a second. What was your most inappropriate outfit?
Yeah, I'm struggling to think too, but actually I think I know.
Yeah.
We both actually had a phase where we would wear sort of leather harnesses that were actually really nicely designed, and looked great over like a black t-shirt. And actually I had this amazing velvet dress that had this like ruffled neck and then like leather straps that went round the waist. And then it was attached to the ruffle. I've really got to dig that dress.
Ooh.
Amazing. Anyway, I did once to like quite a, it wasn't even like a fancy dinner. It was just like a serious dinner. Just wear like black trousers. I actually think this was a great look, but it was like talked about a lot and was like very much not appreciated. Black trousers and then this like white acne t-shirt that had loads of holes in it, so it was like kind of holed and ripped. And then just with like the heart over the top. I think I wore it with like just like plain black boots. Like it kind of looked quite smart and it was definitely very much like a look, but it wasn't appreciated by people who just like didn't care for what I was doing with it.
Yeah, I think I encountered that as well. I'm really glad I held on to mine as well. I actually just used it for a look because Gucci did these like prairie dresses with the black harness. Yeah. And I was like, I'm so glad I hung on to this like weird goth harness because it's actually awesome.
Because that's a piece that has certain connotations of like BDSM or whatever. Then it's like immediately in polite company assumed to be like deeply inappropriate.
Yeah, completely.
Which I resent and which I enjoy.
Even if I look completely inappropriate and wrongly dressed for the situation, that maybe that like sparks something in someone else and they think, hey, I actually would love to wear shoes that look like goat hooves, or I would love to wear a cluster of pink pearls on my head. So why don't I try that? Like, that's always my goal. I don't want to just be like, I'm so crazy and provocative, you know?
Quirky. Yeah.
That's never the goal. It's just like, I'm wearing what I want to wear. If you feel so inclined, if me doing that frees up you to do that as well, I would be ecstatic. I do have one appropriateness, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Gripe?
Yes, gripe, exactly. One appropriateness gripe that I do stick to very strongly, being seasonally appropriate. And I know I've talked about the fact that I don't have like winter clothes and summer clothes, but this is something that my mom was very strict about when I was a kid, and I think it completely sort of infiltrated my brain that way. But I do not like when people are not dressed for the season. Like, I don't like going to a formal event in the winter and seeing people without tights on in like spaghetti strap dresses with sandals, because it just, I'm like, you must be so uncomfortable and cold.
I see. You mean like weather appropriate?
Yeah. Rather than
like, oh, I see. I thought you, because I know that you do not enjoy seasonal dressing, so like having to put away one's, you know, light garments in the winter, etc. But I'm very with you about dressing inappropriately for weather.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that this is something that you noticed when we were both living in Scotland.
Yes. I was just reading, I was not reading something. You know what? It was in this is now even more embarrassing because I tried to make it seem like I was reading, but I was watching that Netflix movie To All the Boys I Loved Before.
I love that movie.
You know, the older sister, I think, is supposed to be going to St. Andrews, and the younger sister is like, my sister said when girls go out in Scotland, they wear shorts and no tights and no coat, and they're not even cold. And I was like, that is completely true. What is up with that? They live in a place that is on the same latitude as Alaska, and all these chicks go out without coats, which I'm like, major respect to you, because I could not do that, but I do not understand it.
Oh, sis, 100%. That happened to us so many times. And it's not just the girls. Let's not be sexist here. One of my ex-boyfriends, I remember having like an actual screaming fight with him in the street because he refused to go out without more than a short-sleeved shirt on. I should have broken up with him anyway because of the short-sleeved shirt, but he was very cute and I didn't listen to my inner fashion instinct.
I mean, yeah, for men and for women. And for men, I mean, granted, buying a suit or a tuxedo is like so much different and so much more costly than buying a simple dress, so I understand only having one for multiple seasons. But also, like, I think from a creativity perspective, it gets to me too, because I'm like, you have all summer to do the slip dress and the sandals moment, and then like in the winter, let's do a crazy sweater with like a really full skirt and patterned tights. Like, I just feel like people are not taking advantage of this like wonderful medley of flavors that we get every season.
Yes, I do understand that. Heavily.
And I think people get very caught up, myself included sometimes, in certain things being flattering, so much so that it distracts them from like, am I comfortable? Am I warm enough in this? Am I gonna be okay if, you know, I have to walk through the snow later on? So that
I am absolutely the worst criminal when it comes to that. Like, I will not wear shoes that are, I don't have a single pair of shoes that I think it would be like very okay if I got caught in the rain in them.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, me neither. I have a pair of rain boots that I was kind of forced to buy this year. But yeah, I'm most of the time in the rain, I'm wearing like ballet flats. So yeah. I can't really speak to that. But, you know, just the idea of being warm enough, that always gets to me.
Weather appropriate is still one I really need to work on. And I hope that by the time I reach my 30s, I will have cracked it. There's one more element to appropriate dressing that I just wanted to raise. And I don't want to talk too in depth into it because it's not something that I've totally formed an opinion about. I'm constantly learning and listening and hearing more and better and wiser opinions than my own on this topic. But it's about culturally appropriative dressing. And obviously being culturally appropriative and being appropriate are two different things. Yeah, Rue, what do you think? What are your thoughts on culturally appropriative dress?
Yeah, this is such a challenging one because obviously I feel like I have a hot take on most things in the world of fashion, but this is an issue that I am still just feel like I need to absorb much more learning on before I can even crystallize my own opinion.
Totally.
Like I just said, I'm a big fan of like tasting all the flavors of life and just, you know, doing what comes to you and what feels natural. And I think it would be a very sad world where people were limited to only what belonged to their culture and limited to a certain set of things deemed appropriate with no room to expand from a place of genuine curiosity and respect. But I do think we have a lot of backtracking to do before we can let people continue to explore in a way that appeals to them.
Very, very eloquently put. I agree. I think that I would just like to share one anecdote on this, and then I really don't have much more to say because my voice on this is not one that really needs to wade in. But I do remember someone telling me that it was inappropriate for me to be wearing a piece of Indian clothing. It was a part of a top from a sari, and I was wearing this at some party. I know that I've also been guilty of wearing bindis in the past as a fashion statement, not as something else. And I own that, and I look back on that, and I'm not wildly thrilled by it.
Oh, me too. I had the Gwen Stefani phase where I, to be honest, yeah, thought that bindis were just like a cool jewel that you could put on your head. And I'm not proud of that either.
You and me both. I have Indian heritage. My mom's half Indian. And so I was very upset when someone came up to me and told me that it wasn't appropriate that I was wearing the top of the sari. And so it was kind of a tension where I said, I don't understand, like that's also my culture. Like that's how I've grown up. Like I've always worn Indian clothes and been given Indian clothes by my relatives. Like I was quite surprised. This person was then very taken aback by my response, and they were quite offended. So I don't think it was something that was really like resolved. I don't think that I sort of have the final say and ownership by being like, I have Indian heritage because I am white passing. And that could be, you know, upsetting for someone, sure. But it was just a moment that I thought I wanted to raise in the conversation about like being told that you're wearing something that's inappropriate, and also the kind of the rules that keep changing, you know, as we learn more, as fashion changes, fashion evolves, and as necessarily so, attitudes change.
Right. And just like what you're saying, it's just as dangerous to police people as it is to sort of wade into unfamiliar territory, because you never know the entire story of where someone might be from or the reasons they might be wearing something. And yeah, I think oftentimes there's quite a clear line between something that's meant to be costumey and offensive versus something that is coming from a place of respect. And I think especially those waters get rather murky when it comes to designers seeking inspiration. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of the infamous Gaultier outfit that was inspired by Hasidic Jews.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I'd feel about that as a you know, sort of non-practicing Jewish person. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. You're looking at this group of people with a very specific style and imagining how that might be translated into a high fashion look. But if I were someone whose, you know, religious texts dictated that I needed to dress that way, I'm certain that I would be offended by someone putting a creative spin on it. And I think it's very challenging to tell people where they can and can't seek inspiration from, but it's often easier in retrospect to see where that goes wrong.
Absolutely. It's much easier to look back on something and say that doesn't look good than to tell someone when they're having the idea that that's problematic.
Exactly.
It's a very, very interesting point, and a very kind of murky and difficult one when it comes to fashion. But I think when it comes to personal dressing as well, and when it comes to making your own personal choices, it's arguably even more complicated.
Yeah, completely, especially when you have the mix of your own heritage at play, as well as I know for many people the place where they grew up influences that, yes, significantly. in ways that maybe aren't your racial heritage, but they are your personal heritage from growing up in a certain community. So that's challenging as well.
Yeah. I sense that we will dig into this a bit deeper at another time, but I just wanted to invite any of our listeners, if they have any thoughts on this topic, if they think that we haven't covered something in this brief conversation about cultural appropriation, or if they want to share any of their own anecdotes, please do email in, like lovely Rowan did, to rubyandlauragetdressed@gmail.com.
Yes, I suspect that we will have a very fruitful and informative article is coming our way soon about these topics, because I think our entire perception of what's culturally appropriative is changing rather quickly right now.
Yeah, and I'd love to hear from people who have different perspectives from us on this.
Absolutely.
Just before we maybe say bye-bye, I just wanted to raise that we had another email in response to our last podcast, which was from Sarah, who said that Ruby's dream for a cute little hand sani-sized handbag exists in reality. Rue, do you know who the designer is who made the little mini bag in question?
It is Susan Alexandra. I peeked at that email and it is so cute.
Yes, it is. And I do think that you need one.
I feel so bad. I also had a DM from yet another lovely, lovely listener who said, I'm actually beading and like creating a little hand sanitizer bag right now, and I'm going to send you one. And I feel really awful that I now have lost her message. But shout out to whoever that was. You are so kind, and I can't wait to carry my Purell around in a little customized bag.
I am genuinely more tired than I felt in so long, and I'm going to crash now. Love that.
Go to bed. Go to bed. Goodbye, my fine feathered friend.
Goodbye, my fine feathered friend. And from here, good night.
Oh, sweet dreams.
Sweet dreams for you. Well, you've got a couple more hours, but
yeah, no, it's time for me to have a drink.